everyone. My name is Emily Escorcia. I'm your host, and you guys are tuned in to Talk About It. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning back in. This week we're going to dive into one of my favorite topics, which is self-love. As always, I'm your host, Emmy the Writer. You can find me on all the social medias at Emmy the Writer, or you can find the podcast at Talk About It with Emmy. For those of you that don't know me personally, self-love has always been kind of at the center focus of my life. Whether it be because I had issues with self-confidence and self-love and I needed to battle that demon, or because I'm currently preaching self-love and self-acceptance because I went through the battle of learning to love myself to begin with. A lot of times we get stuck on this idea that self-love has to be easy and breezy and it's all just bathtub and kind words and going to therapy and saying nice things about yourself. But that's not the case. Even when you go to therapy, the goal of therapy is to talk about some of the demons that you were not willing to open up to and talk about, like childhood trauma or even your life experiences being different from those of the people around you, or your self-image, what you say when you automatically open your eyes and see yourself in the mirror. All those things are different levels of self-acceptance and self-love that truly affect your confidence. All of it, every step of the way and every chapter of your journey is adding little bits of information to basically mold your confidence. Now, what you do with the information that people put upon you to manufacture your confidence is really what makes or breaks your situation personally. People all around you are going to have opinions and differences based off of your life, and you can either choose to take it with a grain of salt and learn from it, pick it apart for the information that's valuable to you, or let it affect you to the point that you are detrimental to yourself in private. Now, confidence in general is a journey. I use the word journey very specifically because everyone's confidence looks different. You're not automatically going to be the exact same type of confident as the person next to you. Even if you look at them and say, I want to be as confident as that person, their experiences are different. Their insecurities are different. What they focus on to make themselves feel better is different than what you would do. And so the main point of all this and why I'm stressing the fact that it's different for every single person in the world is because acceptance of yourself and your story, your experience, is the key to finding happiness among this journey. Whether you're in the beginning of your journey or nearing the supposed end, even though I don't think there is one, it all depends on you accepting your flaws, your perfections, your imperfections, whatever you value, whatever you consider talents or skills. All of the above, plus the fact that you lived through things that you had no control of, the fact that you experienced things that you had no control of, the fact that you had your heart broken multiple times that you didn't have control of. People lied to you. People said mean things to you. All these different things are factors of acceptance that are necessary when establishing what your confidence looks like and what you're hoping to continue throughout your life. The important part to remember is that I'm not perfect and you're not perfect. No one in the world is perfect. Everyone is capable of failure and flaws. There's really no one story that I can pinpoint and be like, this is the goal. This is the one way to do it. It's not true. And even my story, as we divulge into the details of what I experienced, it's not some sob story to tell you, oh, my life is so difficult, boo-hoo, and I overcame it, and I'm a hero, and you guys need to follow in my footsteps. That's not the case at all. The point of me sharing my story is really so that you get a real account of someone who was learning to love themselves and got to the point of where I am now. I'm very confident, and I don't mean that in a very blanket statement. I have no problem showing my very, very true self, blue hair, loud mouth, attitude, and all, to every facet of my life. I don't hide or shame any part of myself, and if I have areas of opportunity, I accept them and I work with them, and I manage my imperfections in a way that is loving. I don't talk to myself in a bad way. I don't do things that are detrimental to myself on purpose, because at the end of the day, the only one who truly values my life more than anyone in the world is me. The one who can control that life is me. And so the same for you. Nobody out there in the world is going to be able to manufacture your life despite their attempts to manufacture your opinion in your own head. Your life is yours to live, yours to experience. And the same can be said when you look in the mirror. What you experience when you look in the mirror is all your own. No matter what anybody tells you out in public, on social media, in comments, in group chats, whatever. At the end of the day, when you are at home by yourself and you look in the mirror and you cry or you smile or you touch your stretch marks, that's just you and you alone. And so what are you going to mold that conversation to look like? Now, just like I mentioned in the fitness episode with Ashley, Ashley looks like Ashley. I look like me. We're not trying to reach these completely incapable standards of trying to be other people. We're not trying to completely change ourselves to the point of being irrecognizable. Yes, there are moments where your personality will change and do a whole 180, which is fantastic, hopefully for the better. But we still, at the root, accept who we are and what we've experienced, because in the mirror, I see myself and I love myself for me. I don't love myself to try and make it to be somebody else. And so if I want to make changes on my body to look better or feel better, or even my appearance just to, I don't know, spruce myself up for the day, that is me making myself better, but I am not trying to be someone else. That's the goal that I want you to focus on. Because especially in a day and age of social media where everyone is fake, it's all fucking fake. I'm trying, you know, to be as real as possible, but even I cater whatever you guys see to be as beautiful as possible. You don't think I edit out the times that I burp or crack my knuckles or something? Like, of course I do. And so the polished product is always going to be in your face. You have to remember that. And so if you look around to everyone else in your life and you think, oh, they have it better. Oh, I want that. Oh, I haven't been there yet. Why can't I have my life like them? They have it so easy. I have it so hard. Stop. You don't really know what's happening behind closed doors for anyone. You don't know how difficult or how easy it is to receive those things that they've already received. And you don't know the kind of work that they've had to put in to even get there. So don't assume that just because somebody's life looks different than yours on a platform that is perfected, it's real. And it's even comparable. They live different lives. I've mentioned it before, people have different goals at different times in their life. For example, somebody may have more money in the bank than I do, but they may not have the education level that I do. They may not have the work experience that I do. They may have done their business other means to be able to get that money. That doesn't make their track better or worse than mine, or faster or slower even, because it really depends on what your individual goals are. If you're focused on your appearance, then focus on your appearance, not somebody else's appearance. Focus on what you can do to make yourself feel better, look better, perform better, all of the above. If it's something about work, what solutions can you bring to the table to make your work more efficient? What things can you learn to be better at your specific job? What questions can you be asking your supervisors that you don't know or need clarification on? There are a bunch of different questions that you need to answer before you look at yourself and say, you're garbage. You give up. You don't deserve to be here. You're an imposter. All of that needs to be like non-existent, not even an option. And I mean that in a very, very serious way. Every time I used to look in the mirror when I was insecure, overweight, or whatever the case might be, when I was insecure in my head, I would tell myself, you're ugly, you're worthless, you're so shameful. Like, what did you do to yourself? You let yourself go. And all these different disappointing terms. Language really does mold your experience. And so that's why I say people will try to mold your opinion of yourself, because they'll use words and language that will make you feel some type of way, either good or bad, hopefully good, but you know, there's always those people. And so what happens when this language evolves in our head is that, who are you talking to constantly? If you have a voice in your head, it's you. You're talking to yourself constantly, all day, every day, just doing the simple things. Don't forget milk. Don't, you know, forget your shoes or whatever. Little things like that. But that same voice that tells you, don't forget the keys, is also telling you, you look like shit. And why does that language have to be so aggressive? And it's mainly because of the experience that we've chosen around us, or the experience that has happened to us. That's why your private moments are so important. The mental talk, the self-talk that I always like keep bringing up in every single episode, it is so important, and I cannot stress this enough. You need to look in the mirror, and when you catch yourself saying something negative, you have to be like, no, we're not doing that anymore. Say something nice and force yourself to say nice things. Yes, this is just one way of reframing. Like I said before, it's not just kind words, but this is one way of a mental restructure for your language in the way that you see your own body and successes, so that you can have more confidence in the long run. That same language that you're going to use to tell yourself these positive things is also manifesting that energy within you to be able to have the power and drive to make those things happen. Manifestation, the idea of manifestation is twofold, right? You're calling out to the universe to bring this energy towards you, which some people might not believe in, and that's perfectly fine. But the other aspect of manifestation is the energy that you are summoning within yourself. Like you're getting ready for a game. Like game day, you put yourself in the zone. It's the same thing. When you're trying to reframe your mind, you need to put yourself in the zone of positivity and calling nothing but great things into your life, because that gives you that same pump up energy to actually go and get that shit done. Instead of, oh my God, my life is so hard. Oh my God, I'm so tired. I'm so fat. I'm so broke. Oh my God, I don't know what to do. All these different things that we can sit back and complain and complain and complain and complain. Or we can look at solutions and try and reframe it as best as possible, because yes, life happens all the fucking time. And it's going to continue to happen to you. You're going to face all these different types of speed bumps. You might lose your job. You might lose a family member, someone you love. You might lose all the money in your bank account. You might lose your memory, even. Things that you might see as extremely valuable. But ultimately, life and the universe decides, but only you control what you have in the present moment, including your thoughts and how you decide to use them as a weapon for good, for yourself, to drive your confidence up, not down. Frame it more realistically. Look at yourself and be very honest and choose only good things, but honest, genuine things to say to yourself. Look at yourself, and if you don't believe that you're beautiful yet, look in the mirror and say, you are powerful. You are capable. You are strong mentally and physically. Look at you walking, talking, breathing. We can go do a 20-minute walk. Those are the things that we can choose to be bottom of the barrel, scraping garbage and looking for things to say to make ourselves feel bad. Or we can do the exact opposite and look in the depths of our dark little soul that is being so negative for good things to say about ourselves, so that we feel uplifted within ourselves. The next thing that I want to talk about is upliftment within your community. Your self-love and your self-confidence really depends on the kind of circle that you trust to have information shared to and with. I know that when you have a circle of friends that's very toxic, you have a circle of friends that's very negative, loves to talk shit about each other, loves to bash each other, loves to lie to each other, all these different things that are very clearly bad for you. It may be difficult to cut ties with some types of friends, but it's necessary to do that sometimes because it is very much the environment that you live in, which will frame your way of thinking and also your way of acting. Because we all put on a show about what we want to do. I'm going to talk about friend things in front of my friends. And so what are your friend things? What are those friend topics? Are they other people? Are you limiting your space and your time and efforts into just wasted time? Really wasted time. What I mean by wasted time is not like, oh, I spent time watching TV. You can have TV time or laying down time, taking a nap even, and it not be wasted time because it was productive for something else. Are you resting or are you just watching 8 hours straight of Netflix for the third day in a row? Because if it's one lazy day, that's fine. But if it's every single day, that's an issue. And so the same with your friendships. Are your friendships constantly gossip and spending money and getting drunk and doing drugs? Or are we building each other up? Are we having useful conversations? Are we talking about our relationships in a healthy way? Are we talking about our insecurities in a healthy way? And so that same respect that we give our intimate relationships, like our boyfriends and girlfriends, we have to do the same for our friendships. If I turn and look at my best friend and say, best friend, I need to talk to you about something. And it's something really serious, like something's going on with my family or something's going on personally, and I have either insecurities about it or maybe they can talk me through a downward spiral. If my best friend cannot help me, maybe I shouldn't be divulging that close of information to them. And if you're not comfortable divulging that close of information to them, should you be considering them that close to your circle? I feel not, but that's me personally. You might be experiencing something different, or that they might be benefiting you in other ways in your life, which is fine. It's your personal choice to make, but it is something to consider when you spend all of your off time doing quote unquote wasted things versus productive things and helpful things for your life. Because that same behavior will translate into how you spend your personal time. It becomes a pattern of sorts. And so the pattern that you allow to continue in your personal life with your friends will also translate into your personal life alone. Now, don't get me wrong. Do I enjoy my margaritas? Of course I do. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I'm doing it every single day with all of my off time, that's a lot of off time that could have been used to do other things that are beneficial for my life, not for anybody else's. Now let's talk a little bit about mentality in general. Where I stand in my mental processes, obviously, is different than somebody else who would be in a more insecure aspect of their life. And that's also very important to remember. Somebody who's super confident sees the world differently than somebody who's super insecure. And that's not to say it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just to say that the lens is different. And so you have to learn the fact that you have a lens to begin with. And you have to consider the other alternatives. What that means: I'm insecure. I feel down on myself. I'm super negative. Is this my only choice? Is it a choice? Is it something that I have to just live with and deal with the situation? Or is it something that I can actually manipulate and make better? Mentality is all a matter of point of view. And your point of view will change as your journey changes and evolves. Hopefully you evolve with your experiences. A lot of people don't. But that's the most important thing to remember when it comes to this aspect of confidence, is evolution and growth. Accepting the fact that you were not always right. Accepting the fact that you saying that you're fat and disgusting is also not right. And that you did that. And that it's okay that you did that, but we're not going to do that anymore. And that type of mentality that I'm talking about is growth. All of it is growth. And growth is not just growing and forgetting, I was such a demon, she doesn't exist, we don't know her. Like, yeah, that's really easy to do. It's much easier to accept your bad behavior and learn from it and maybe even share that knowledge so that somebody else can benefit. If you're a parent, that's the ultimate goal. to share these lessons with our children, not expectations. When we look at ourselves and speak negatively to ourselves, where is this coming from? Are you putting these unrealistic expectations of yourself based off what? Based off of your own experience, based off of what you read and chose to obsess about, based off of your parents telling you what XYZ was supposed to happen, based off of your boss berating you, breathing down your neck. What is it that is making you beat yourself up? Because I promise you, the neutral zone for humans is not, let me destroy myself emotionally. It's not. But it's easy to fall into that pattern. And that's what we're trying to end today. So of course, I'm not your therapist, at least not yet. I will be certified and hopefully you guys will call me eventually, but this can't be a therapy session because I just don't have the time to sit with each one of you to divulge your personal, you know, insecurities or deficiencies in life just in general. However, take this as homework and look at your life. Really, really look at your life. Put a magnifying lens on your life and your history, your experience. Do your best to do it from a place just losing the objectivity of the fact that you experienced it and you might have pain or excitement or love or anything in very, you know, emotional parts of your history. That is true. That's going to happen. But when you take that magnifying lens and you focus on your history and your experience, where did you learn to speak to yourself the way that you did? Focus. Look at it, read it, pay attention, ask your parents, ask your siblings, ask your best friend, your partner, all of the above. Where is this stemming from? Can we have conversations about society's expectations? Because that's a whole other demon that we will eventually get to. But societal expectations, whether you be a woman or a man, for different aspects of our lives are ridiculous. I think of my poor partner who his bosses can be a little bit too demanding sometimes and have very high expectations, and he carries them home and he'll put them on himself. He's working on getting better, but he does still have moments where this societal expectation of a man providing and working hard and dedicating their entire lives for their work is very much in his history. And the same for me. I did not have very traditional thinking parents in the woman belong in the kitchen sense. They are traditional in other ways, but I was not limited in the way of what a woman can and cannot do. However, that is very visible to me because I was not raised that way. I see it in society where there are so many times that men will mansplain me or interrupt me or tell me that I'm doing something incorrectly when I'm the one who's educated in the field or whatever example we can get into. It's happened millions of times. I've seen it with my colleagues. I've seen it with my coworkers. And it's oftentimes because I'm a woman. And expectations of what women are supposed to be at home emotionally, like I'm too rough for what women are expected to be. I'm too loud. I speak too much. I have too many opinions. All these different expectations that life wants to put on us. Who made up these rules? Who put that rule on me? Who am I hurting? Am I being unprofessional? Am I being disrespectful? Those are the types of questions you need to ask yourself, not am I enough? Am I good? Yes, you're good. You're great. You're doing amazing. And the fact that you care and the fact that you take it home and worry about it is plenty to show you that you do have the capacity to have passion for that worry, but put that passion towards you positively. So if it's work that's on your ass, okay, fine. I have all these obstacles. I'm a woman. What am I going to do? I'm going to make sure that I drive it home. I'm going to make sure that, no, I'm not perfect, but I'm also going to stress the fact that what I'm doing is good and it is solid. I'm not going to be perfect and neither are you, but we're going to work together. This is a team environment and we're going to learn. I'm going to focus on learning. I'm going to focus on being better. I'm not going to focus on the fact that somebody in the office is talking shit. I don't care that somebody in the office is talking shit. I care if my boss has very legitimate concerns about my work performance. Speak to your supervisors. How is my work performance doing? can we have a touch base about how everything is going with the company and my position, my department? How can I be better? Because even if you're not up for review, your initiative to ask what you can do better is a good sign in the right direction, and you can only benefit from that conversation. The same in your love life, the same in your personal life, the same with your fitness life. If you look in the mirror and you have an insecurity, tackle it in a beneficial way with positivity and love, not just kind words, not just, oh, I'm so perfect and I don't need to change. It's not about changing yourself. It's about making yourself better and doing it because you love yourself, not because you hate yourself. I won't keep you guys too long for this episode, so I hope that this put you on the right direction. We will continue with the self-love series next week. It'll probably get a little personal, and we might divulge into my specific story. If you have any questions, please, please, please DM me, and I will talk about them on the podcast. I love you guys. Have a great week, and don't forget to love yourselves every step of the way. Peace out.